May only His word be spoken, only His word heard. Amen. How are we different? We take a stand. Message is based on the gospel lesson for today from the Gospel of John. True Christians are different because sooner or later they take a stand. They take a stand for Jesus Christ. How many of us can speak the name of Jesus, not as a curse word, but with love and admiration as the chief person in their life? All true Christians get there eventually. Without shame or embarrassment, we express our love, our trust, our gratitude, our loyalty to Jesus Christ verbally. In the continual conflict between Jesus and the crowd, or Jesus and culture, we will take our stand, Jesus Christ above all. In our scripture for today, Jesus talks about being set free. The Jews of that day and the vast majority of people today would protest. We are not slaves to anybody or anything. You can imagine if Jesus was addressing us on CNN or Fox or something and say, "You're slaves." We would protest. No, we're not. We're Americans. We live in the land of the free. But Jesus countered the Jews and the people of our day, he would counter as well. He would tell them, as he told the Jews, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." A slave is not free to take a stand on anything. So many enslavements. Whatever masters us, we are bound to. Think about that. Whatever masters us. Lust, greed, malice, anger, pride, envy, all sinful desires push Jesus off the throne of our life, out of our focus, and maybe out of our life. Again, we protest. We're not a slave to any of these things. But if Jesus isn't in your life, then yes, you are a slave. I don't know what it is, but you're a slave to something, because it's either him or it. James Patterson, Peter Kim wrote a book, The Day America Told the Truth. And in that book, he addressed a question to many, many people. What are you willing to do for $10 million? What would you be willing to do for $10 million? 25% of the people asked this would abandon their entire family for $10 million. 25% would abandon their church. 23% would become prostitutes for a week or more. 16% would give up their American citizenship. And I would add, they probably moved to Switzerland, right? 16% would leave their spouses for $10 million. 10% would withhold testimony and let a murderer go free. 7% would actually kill a stranger for $10 million. And God forbid, 3% would give up their own children for adoption for $10 million. These people aren't free. They're not free. Okay, you say we've set any amount, really. They're not free. Who runs their lives? Money. But it's not just money. How about choosing sexual immorality over Jesus? How about choosing revenge or anger over Jesus? How about choosing envy and jealousy over Jesus? How about choosing having it your own way over Jesus? But you're really not choosing, are you? Not really. These things have taken control. They're too powerful for you to contend with. You go back over and over again to these things. You need to be set free. The true Christian ultimately faces up to the fact of when they are living a double life. Indeed, many a Christian today is leading a double life. When in private, they act and think one way, but when they are in public, say, for instance, in church, they act and think another way. They're not free. If you're like me, I don't want to play the role of a hypocrite. Anybody want to play that role? I don't think so. You want to be an authentic person. You want to be real. You want to be filled with integrity. And you want to hold on to that freedom, because that is freedom. Jesus sets us free. The most important thing in your entire life, and there's no comparison here, the most important moment in your entire life, the pinnacle, is how you react to your encounter with Jesus. There is nothing that even comes close to it. How do you react to what he did for you and for all people? Most of you know here what he did. How he came as a true human being and truly God, and how he came primarily to die for you and to take your place under God's righteous wrath for your sins, and then to suffer the punishment you deserved, and in fact, he suffered hell itself. Simple illustration. You were in court. You did the crime. You embezzled money, let's say. You finally admit it. Can any respected judge just say to you, "It's okay. We'll let this go"? Would that be justice for the victims? No, it wouldn't be. And no respected judge would do that. But what if someone were to arise and pay full restitution and then some for you, and on top of that, also go to prison in your place? Now, multiply this by trillions, and you have an idea of what Jesus did for you and for all people. To know Jesus' sacrifice for us is one thing, to know about it. But to believe it and trust it and live in it is an entirely different thing. And that's what the true Christian does. Believes it, trusts it, and lives in it. I believe that it was Corrie ten Boom who said, "When a light is turned on in a dark room, it's obvious. If a corpse was to rise from a coffin and live again, there would be no need to hang a sign around their neck to tell the world that there had been a change." And when the doors of a penitentiary swing outward and the prisoner comes out into freedom, it's immediately apparent. So it is with a man or a woman who genuinely encounters Jesus Christ. There's a change, and it's apparent. We are forgiven. We don't have to work to please God. No, if we believe in his son Jesus, God is pleased with us. And then we're pleased with Jesus. Even more, our life is propelled by gratitude. We want to follow this Jesus and reflect him. That we'll never perfectly live the life Jesus did. We will want to. And we'll make strides. Yes, we'll mature as we keep him in sight and hold on to his teachings. Today we remember that Martin Luther made a stand. His stand had everything to do with Jesus. Everything. Once he was imprisoned in a spiritual sense, he came to see Jesus clearly. His liberator. Then he burst onto the scene with such courage and such passion that the name of Jesus was always on his lips. He was set free by Jesus, and he wanted everyone set free. And today, all Christians really owe him a debt. And yes, Roman Catholics do as well, and they will tell you this. Because he took a stand on the rock of Jesus Christ, many were refocused on the Savior of the whole world. So let me ask you, how can you take a stand today? There are two steps that I want you to consider. Step one, radically redefine your identity. Who are you? I am a forgiven, saved, redeemed child of God. I am a follower, a disciple of Jesus. I have been given a mission in life by my Master Jesus. You know, when I say Jesus is my Master, it's the same as saying Jesus is my Lord. And when I say that, it means you give up control of your life and drop your conditions. You give up the right to say, I will obey you if I will do what you say if. Jesus is not your consultant. He's your Lord. He's your master. Tomorrow morning, get up and look in your mirror. You know, make sure you can see yourself in the mirror. I know it's a ghastly sight for some. And don't say things like this. I'm a loser. I can't do anything right. And also don't say, I am great. I am superior to others. No, don't say either one. Say, I'm a beloved child of God. And if I get a chance, I'm standing up for you today, Jesus. In fact, you are my Savior, Jesus, and I will exalt you anywhere I go. Who are you? A child of God. Step two, develop a personal mission statement. Think of it this way. The contours of your life are pretty much set, right? Especially for you as adults. You know what your profession is. I mean, it may change, but it's basically defined. And I'd go even lower. If you're a student, that's where you are now. That's the contours of your life. You're a student. Say, for instance, you're an electrician. Or say you're a teacher. How can you serve Jesus right where you're at? It's good to think this through. As a Jesus follower, how can I serve him in terms of the classroom, my students? As an electrician, how can I serve Jesus with my work partners and customers? Do you think that a Christian electrician would be different? What do you think? How about a Christian teacher, a true devoted disciple of Jesus, would a teacher be different with their students? How so? How do you think? Don't you think it would be that I have a mission to serve Jesus with these students? Or as an electrician, I'm not just doing this job to get paid. I'm doing it in a right way so the house doesn't burn down. I'm doing it in a way that serves my Lord Jesus. If you think first as your life as a mission for Jesus, it will drastically recast it. The key is to be conscious and fixing your eyes on Jesus. You serve Him. You serve Him. I find it best to write it out. Spell it out, what it would look like in your current circumstances, that whatever you do, you're serving Jesus. You're taking your stand for Him in whatever circumstances your life puts you in. By the way, Jesus always seems to be asking us to stretch ourselves, to risk, to get out of our comfort zone. This is not emphasized enough, I think. Is there something? How about attempting something you've never done before in order to serve Jesus? You've never done it. Maybe in your church life. If he asked you to do something, maybe it's Jesus asking. If you're asked to do something. Let's suggest right here. How about this? How about you get out of your comfort zone and you come out of your seat and you say, I've seen this person many times on this side, you know, where the unrighteous sit. Yeah. And you come way over from there where you're trying to hide, which actually I see people that are further away better than I see you close people, right? And you come over here and say, hi, I've seen you many times, and I really don't know your name, and hi, are you new here? No, I've been here for 30 years. How about you? You take a risk. If we can't risk here among ourselves, how are we going to do out there? You take a risk. Put your hand out. You take a risk at your workplace. You take a risk at school. Who are you embarrassed about? Will you be able to say the name Jesus without embarrassment? I hope so. True Christians are different in that way. They eventually get there. By the way, I also believe in a term that Brennan Manning used in one of his books. He's a great author. He calls it... He labels it the second call. Let me read what he writes. He says, the second journey begins when we know we cannot live the afternoon of life according to the morning program. I love that. Can't live in the afternoon of life according to the morning program. He doesn't mean you're particularly old either here. No, I teach this adult inquiry class, and people who have been confirmed in the Lutheran Church, for instance, as young people, and they come to this and they say, wow, I've never heard this, but I have heard this before. But you know why it's different for them? Because now they have adult experiences and they connect what God's Word says as they never could before as a young person, because they've had adult experiences. And now they connect what it really means and what it means to live your life as a Christian in the afternoon. Now, Brennan Manning suggests that's between the second call, the summons to live your Christian life out front, taking your stand, I call it, you know, out front between the ages of 30 and 60. I guess he's saying after 60, you've pretty much had that call. You know where you're going, right? So those of us over 60, we got it made. We've done it already. you between 30 and 60, maybe God's calling you to live a little differently. You know? Like when you were children, you would say, yeah, we go to church. This is my parents' church. No. Now, as an adult, this is what I believe. This is why I go there. This is what I stand for. This is what I think. Because I'm a follower of Jesus, because I'm a beloved child of God. Well, where are you? Have you heard the summons? Will Jesus Christ be more than just someone you say his name in church? Take a stand for Jesus. And do it by knowing who you are, a beloved child of God, and that he has a mission for your life. And he does. Jesus will set you free. And you will take a stand for him. In Jesus' name and to his glory. Amen.